Chapter 15, The Principle of Acceleration and the Super Multiplier. Page 120. Introduction. T. N. Carver was the earliest economist who recognized the relationship between changes in consumption and net investment in 1903. But it was Aftalian who analyzed this principle in detail in 1909. The term acceleration principle itself was first introduced into economics by J. M. Clark in 1917. Note 1. J. M. Clark, Business Acceleration and the Law of Demand, a Technical Factor in Economic Cycles. J. P. E. 1917, reprinted in Readings in Business Cycle Theory, 1944. It was further developed by Hicks, Samuelson and Harrod in relation to business cycles. The principle of acceleration. The principle of acceleration is based on the fact that the demand for capital goods is derived from the demand for consumer goods, which the former helps to produce. The acceleration principle explains the process by which an increase or decrease in the demand for consumption goods leads to an increase or decrease in investment on capital goods. According to Kurilara, the acceleration coefficient is the ratio between induced investment and an initial change in consumption expenditure. Symbolically, small v is equal to delta I upon delta C, or delta I is equal to small v into delta C, where v is the acceleration coefficient, delta I is net change in investment, and delta C is the net change in consumption expenditure. If the increase in consumption expenditure of rupees 10 crores leads to an increase in investment of rupees 30 crores, the accelerator coefficient is 3. This version of the acceleration principle has been more broadly interpreted by Hicks as the ratio of induced investment to changes in output it calls forth. Thus, the accelerator V is equal to delta I upon delta Y, or the capital output ratio. It depends on the relevant change in output delta Y and the change in investment delta I. It shows that the demand for capital goods is not derived from consumer goods alone, but from any direct demand of national output. In an economy, the required stock of capital depends on the change in the demand for output. Any change in output will lead to a change in capital stock. This change equals V times the change in output. Thus, delta I is equal to V times delta Y, where V is the accelerator. If a machine has a value of rupees 4 crores and produces output worth rupees 1 crore, then the value of V is 4. An entrepreneur who wishes to increase his output by rupees 1 crore every year must invest rupees 4 crore on his machine. This equally applies to an economy where if the value of the accelerator is greater than 1, more capital is required per unit of output so that the increase in net investment is greater than the increase in output that causes it. Gross investment in the economy will equal replacement investment plus net investment. Assuming replacement investment, that is, replacement demand for machines due to obsolescence and depreciation, to be constant, gross investment will vary with the level of investment corresponding to each level of output. The acceleration principle can be expressed in the form of the following equation. Note 2, F. S. Brumman, opposite page 169. So the expression is IGT is equal to V within bracket YT minus 1 plus R, which is equal to V into delta YT plus R, capital R, where IGT is the gross investment in period T, V is the accelerator, YT is the national output in period T, YT minus 1 is the national output in the previous period T minus 1, and capital R is the replacement investment. The equation tells that gross investment during period T depends on the change in output Y from the period T minus 1 to the period T multiplied by accelerator V plus replacement investment R. Page 121. In order to arrive at net investment, IN, R must be deducted from both sides of the equation, so that net investment in period T is INT is equal to V within bracket YT minus 1, which is equal to V into delta YT. If YT is greater than YT minus 1, net investment is positive during period T. On the other hand, if YT is less than YT minus 1, net investment is negative or there is disinvestment in period T. Operation of the acceleration principle. The working of the acceleration principle is explained in table 1. So in table 1 we have operation of the acceleration principle, where V is equal to 4. So there are 6 columns. Column 1 is period in years. Column 2, total output capital Y. Column 3, required capital. Column 4, replacement investment capital R. Plus column 5, net investment capital IN equal to column 6, gross investment IG. So the entries in the various columns are as follows. For period T, output Y is equal to 100, capital required 400, capital R 40, IN is 0, so IG is 40. For T minus 1, Y is 100, capital required 400, capital R is 40, IN is 0, IG is 40. For T plus 2, Y is 105, capital required 420, capital R 40, net investment IN 20, IG is 60. For T plus 3, Y is 115, capital required 460, replacement investment R is 40, IN is 40, IG is equal to 80. For T plus 4, Y is 130, capital required 520, R is 40, IN 60, IG 100. For T plus 5, Y is 140, capital required is 560, R 40, IN 40, IG 80. For T plus 6, capital Y is 145, required capital is 580, capital R is 40, IN is 20, IG is 60. For T plus 7, capital Y is 140, required capital is 560, replacement capital is 40, net investment IN is minus 20, so IG is equal to 20. For T plus 8, Y is equal to 130, required capital 520, capital R is 40, IN minus 40, IG 0. And finally, T plus 9, capital Y is 125, required capital 600, capital R 40, IN is minus 20, IG is equal to 20. Returning back to the text. The table traces changes in total output, capital stock, net investment and gross investment over 10 time periods. Assuming the value of the acceleration V is equal to 4, the required capital stock in each period is 4 times the corresponding output of that period as shown in column 3. The replacement investment is assumed to be equal to 10% of the capital stock in period T, shown as 40 in each time period. Net investment in column 5 equals V times the change in the output between one period and the preceding period. For example, net investment in period T plus 3 is equal to V times Y of T plus 3 minus Y of T plus 2, or 40, which is equal to 4 multiplied by 115 minus 105. It means that given the accelerator of 4, The increase of 10 in the demand for final output leads to an increase of 40 in the demand for capital goods or machines. Accordingly, the total demand for capital goods or machines rises to 80, made up of 40 of replacement and 40 of net investment. Thus, the table reveals that net investment depends on the change in total output given the value of the accelerator. So long as the demand for final goods or output rises, net investment is positive. But when it falls, net investment is negative. In the table, total output, that is column 2, increases at an increasing rate from the period T plus 1 to T plus 4, and so does net investment in column 5. Then it decreases at a diminishing rate from period T plus 5 to T plus 6, and the net investment declines from the period T plus 7 to T plus 9. Total output falls and the net investment becomes negative. The acceleration principle is illustrated diagrammatically in figure 4, where the upper portion total output curve Y increases at an increasing rate up to period T plus 4, then at a decreasing rate up to period T plus 6. After this, it starts diminishing. The curve IN in the lower part of the figure shows that the rising output leads to increased net investment up to T plus 4 period because output is increasing at an increasing rate. But when output increases at decreasing rate between T plus 4 and T plus 6 periods, net investment declines. When output starts declining in period T plus 7, net investment becomes zero. The curve IG represents gross investment of the economy. Its behavior is similar to the net investment curve, but there is one difference that gross investment is not negative, and once it becomes zero in period T plus 8, the IG curve starts rising again. This is because, despite net investment being negative, the replacement investment is taking place at a uniform rate. The total increase in income, column 6, page 122. So, in this we have figure 1. There are two figures. The first figure, it has time on the x-axis and output on the y-axis. The times are marked from period 0, T plus 1, T plus 2, going up to T plus 9. The curve is an increasing curve up to T plus 4. From T plus 4 to T plus 6, the increase is lesser. After T plus 6, it goes down. That is the y curve. In second part of the figure, again we have time on the x-axis going from T plus 1 to T plus 9. On the y-axis, we have net investment, that is IN. So the curve is more like a sine curve. It goes on increasing from T plus 1 up to T plus 4. From T plus 4 to T plus 5, it is a smaller increase. After T plus 5, it starts decreasing, and between T plus 6 and T plus 7, it crosses the x-axis and becomes negative and starts increasing again after T plus 7, going towards T plus 9. That is the IN curve. The explanation of the curve has been done on the previous page. Returning to the text, assumptions. The acceleration principle is based upon the following assumptions. 1. The acceleration principle assumes a constant capital output ratio. 2. It assumes that resources are easily available. 3. It assumes that there is no excess or idle capacity in plants. 4. It is assumed that the increased demand is permanent. 5. It also assumes that there is elastic supply of credit and capital. And 6. It further assumes that an increase in output immediately leads to a rise in net investment. Criticisms. The acceleration principle has been criticized by economists for its rigid assumptions, which tend to limit its smooth working. The following are its limitations. 1. Capital output ratio not constant. The acceleration principle is based on a constant capital output ratio, but this ratio does not remain constant in the modern dynamic world. Inventions and improvements in techniques of production are constantly taking place, which lead to increase in output per unit of capital. Or, existing capital equipment may be worked more intensively. Moreover, change in the expectations of businessmen with regard to prices, wages, interest may affect future demand and vary the capital output ratio. Thus, the capital output ratio does not remain constant, but changes in different phases of the trade cycle. 2. Resources not elastic. The acceleration principle assumes that the resources should be elastic so that they are employed in the capital goods industries to enable them to expand. This is possible when there is unemployment in the economy. But once the economy reaches the full employment level, capital goods industries fail to expand due to non-availability of sufficient resources. This limits the working of the acceleration principle. So this principle will not apply in a recession where excess capacity is found. Page 123. 3. Idle capacity in plants. The acceleration theory assumes that there is no unused or idle capacity in plants. But if some machines are not working to their full capacity and are lying idle, then an increase in the demand for consumer goods will not lead to the increased demand for new capital goods. In such a situation, the acceleration principle will not work. 4. Difference between required and real capital stock. It assumes no difference between required and real capital stock. Even if it exists, it ends in one period. But if industries are already producing capital goods at full capacity, it is not possible to end the difference in one period. 5. Does not explain timing of investment. The assumption of the existence of full capacity implies that increased demand for output immediately leads to induced investment. The acceleration principle, therefore, fails to explain the timing of investment. At best, it explains the volume of investment. As a matter of fact, there may be a time lag before new investment can be generated. For instance, if the time lag is 4 years, the effect of new investment will not be felt in 1 year, but in 4 years. 6. Does not consider availability and cost of capital goods. The timing of the acquisition of capital goods depend on the availability and cost, and the availability and cost of financing them. The theory does not consider these factors. 7. Acceleration effect zero for installed equipment. It is assumed that no increase in demand for consumer goods has been foreseen and provided for in previous capital investment. If by anticipating future demand, capital equipment has already been installed, it would not lead to induced investment and the acceleration effect will be zero. 8. Does not work for temporary demand. This theory further assumes that the increased demand is permanent. In case the demand for consumer goods is expected to be temporary, the producers will refrain from investing in capital goods. Instead, they may meet the increased demand by working the existing capital equipment more intensely. So, the acceleration will not materialize. 9. Supply of credit not elastic. The acceleration principle assumes an elastic supply of credit so that when there is induced investment as a result of induced consumption, cheap credit is easily available for investment in capital goods industries. If cheap credit is not available in sufficient quantities, the rate of interest will be high and investment in capital goods will be very low. Thus, the acceleration will not fully work. 10. Neglects profits as a source of internal funds. This assumption further implies that firms resort to external sources of finance for investment purposes. But empirical evidence has shown that firms prefer internal sources of finance to external sources. The acceleration principle is weak in that it neglects profits as a source of internal finance. As a matter of fact, the level of outputs is a major determinant of investment. 11. Neglects the role of expectations. The acceleration principle neglects the role of expectations in decision making on the part of entrepreneurs. The investment decisions are not influenced by demand alone. They are also affected by future anticipations like stock market changes, political developments, international events, economic climate, etc. 12. Neglects the role of technological factors. The acceleration principle is weak in that it neglects the role of technological factors in investment. Technological changes may be either capital saving or labor saving. They may therefore reduce or increase the volume of investment. Further, as pointed out by Professor Knox, capital equipment may be bulky and the employment of additional plant is justified only when output has risen considerably. This factor is all the more important because usually what is added is a complex of machines and not a machine. Note 3. A. D. Knox, The Acceleration Principle and the Theory of Investment, A Survey, reprinted in M. J. Mueller, Readings in Macroeconomics, 2nd edition, 1971. 13. Fails to explain lower turning point. According to Knox, the acceleration principle is not of much use for explaining lower turning point. 14. Not precise and satisfactory. Again, Knox points out that the acceleration principle is not precise and is unsatisfactory. It is therefore inadequate as a theory of investment. Note 4. J. R. Hicks, A Contribution on the Theory of Trade Cycle, 1950, page 62. Conclusion. Despite these limitations, the principle of acceleration makes the process of income propagation clearer and more realistic than the multiplier theory. The multiplier shows the effect of a change in investment on income via consumption, while the acceleration shows the effect of consumption or output on investment and income. Thus, the acceleration explains volatile fluctuations in income and employment as a result of fluctuations in capital goods industries. But it can explain upper turning points better than lower turning points. Page 124. The super multiplier or the multiplier accelerator interaction. In order to measure the total effect of initial investment on income, Hicks has combined the multiplier and the accelerator mathematically and given it the name of the super multiplier. Note 4. The combined effect of the multiplier and the accelerator is also called the leverage effect, which may lead the economy to very high or low level of income propagation. The super multiplier is worked out by combining both induced consumption, that is CY or delta C upon delta Y or MPC, and induced investment, that is VY or delta I upon delta Y or MPI. Hicks divided the investment component into autonomous investment and induced investment so that investment I is equal to IA plus V into Y, where IA is autonomous investment and V into Y is induced investment. Since Y is equal to C plus I, therefore delta Y is equal to C into delta Y plus delta I into A plus V into delta Y, or delta Y minus C delta Y minus V delta Y is equal to delta IA. So delta Y within bracket 1 minus C minus V is equal to delta IA, or delta Y upon delta IA is equal to 1 upon 1 minus C minus V, which is equal to 1 upon S minus V, or KS is equal to 1 upon 1 minus C minus V, which is equal to 1 upon S minus V, where KS is the super multiplier, C is the marginal propensity to consume, V is the marginal propensity to invest, and S is the marginal propensity to save. S is equal to 1 minus C. The super multiplier tells us that if there is an initial increase in autonomous investment, income will increase by KS times the autonomous investment. So the super multiplier in general form will be delta Y is equal to 1 upon 1 minus C minus V the whole into delta IA, which is equal to KS into delta IA. Let us explain the combined operation of the multiplier and the accelerator in terms of the above equation. Suppose C is equal to 0.5, V is equal to 0.4, and the autonomous investment increases by rupees 100 crores. The increase in aggregate income will be delta Y is equal to 1 upon 1 minus 0.5 minus 0.4 the whole multiplied by 100, which is equal to 1 upon 0.1 multiplied by 100, which is equal to 10 multiplied by 100, which is 1000. It shows that a rise in autonomous investment by rupees 100 crores has raised income to rupees 1000 crores. The simple multiplier would have raised income to only rupees 200 crores. Given the value of K, the multiplier as 2, since MPC is equal to 0.5. But the multiplier combined with the accelerator, KS equal to 10, has raised income to rupees 1000 crores, which is higher than generated by the simple multiplier. Table 2 explains how the process of income propagation via the multiplier and the accelerator with the value of the super multiplier KS equal to 10 leads to a rise in income to rupees 1000 crores with an initial investment of rupees 100 crores. So table 2 we have multiplier accelerator interaction. All rupees are in crores. We have 6 columns. Column 1 is period T, column 2 initial investment, column 3 induced consumption C, which is equal to 0.5, induced investment V equal to 0.4, column 5 is increase in income delta Y equal to C plus V, and column 6 is total increase in income. So the entries in the table are as follows. Period T plus 0, all other values are 0. T plus 1, initial investment 100, induced consumption dash, induced investment dashed, increase in income 100, total increase in income 100. Period T plus 2, initial investment 100, induced consumption 50, induced investment 40, increase in income 90, total increase in income 190. T plus 3, initial investment 100, induced consumption 45, induced investment 36, increase in income 81, total increase in income 271. T plus 4, initial investment 100, induced consumption 40.5, induced investment 32.4, increase in income 72.9, total increase in income 343.9. For T plus 5, initial investment 100, induced consumption 36.45, induced investment 29.16, increase in income 65.61, total increase in income 409.51. So it goes on up to T plus N, initial investment 100, induced consumption 0, induced investment 0, increase in income 0, total increase in income is 1000. Returning to the text, In period T plus 1, constant investment of 100 is injected into the economy, but there is no immediate induced consumption or investment. In period T plus 2, induced consumption of 50 takes place out of the income 100 of period T plus 1. Since the marginal propensity to consume is 0.5, while there is an induced investment of 40 out of 100 income, V being 0.4. The increase in income from period 1 to 2 is 50 plus 40 equal to 90. The increase in income in difficult periods can be calculated as delta Y T plus 2, which is equal to C delta Y T plus 1 plus V delta Y T plus 1, which is 0.5 into 100 plus 0.4 into 100, which is equal to 90. Similarly, the increase in income in period T plus 3 can be calculated as delta Y T plus 3 is equal to C delta Y T plus 2 plus V delta Y T plus 2, which is 0.5 multiplied by 90 plus 0.4 multiplied by 90, which is equal to 45 plus 36 equal to 81. The total increase in income, column 6, is arrived at by adding the increase in income, column 5, of the current period to the total increase in income, column 6, of the previous period. For instance, the total increase in income, column 6, in period T plus 2 of 190 is arrived at by adding the increase in income, that is column 5, of this period to the total increase in income, 100, of column 6 of the previous period T plus 1. Page 125. Similarly, the total increase in income in period T plus 3 of 271 is equal to increase in income of 81 in this period plus 190 of column 6 of period T plus 2. This cumulative process of income propagation continues till in period T plus N, induced consumption, induced investment, and increase in income dwindle to zero. If we add up the increase in consumption, investment, and income from period T plus 1 to T plus N, the total income increases to rupees 1000 crores, total consumption to rupees 500 crores, and total investment to rupees 400 crores, given the initial investment of rupees 100 crores. The dynamic path of income is shown in figure 2. Income is measured vertically and time horizontally. There is a curve OY1 which shows the time path of income with a super multiplier of 10. The curve rises with time and reaches new equilibrium level of income Y1 and flattens out. It indicates that income increases at a decreasing rate. Use of multiplier-accelerator interaction in business cycles. However, with different values of MPC and the accelerator, the multiplier-accelerator may show different results in terms of cyclical fluctuations. Suppose the MPC is 0.5 and the accelerator coefficient is 2. Given the same assumptions and the initial investment of rupees 100 crores, let us study how changes in income takes place. Table 3 explains this process of income propagation. So in table 3 we have multiplier accelerator interaction. All rupees is in crores. There are 5 columns. First column is time T. Column 2 initial investment. Column 3 induced consumption. C equal to 0.5. Column 4 induced investment. V equal to 2. Increase in income, columns 2 plus 3 plus 4. This is the fifth column. The entries in the table are T equal to 0, all values are 0. T equal to T plus 1, initial investment 100, induced consumption 0, induced investment nil, increase in income 100. For T plus 2, initial investment 100. So all entries in the initial investment, that is second column, is 100. Okay. Induced consumption is 50. Induced investment 100. Increase in income 250. T plus 3, induced investment 100, induced consumption 125, induced investment 150, increase in income 375. T plus 4, initial investment 100, induced consumption 187.5, induced investment 125, increase in income 412.50. For T plus 5, initial investment 100, induced consumption 206.25, induced investment 37.5, increase in income 343.75. For T plus 6, initial investment 100, induced consumption 171.88, induced investment minus 68.74, increase in income 203.14. T plus 7, initial investment 100, induced consumption 101.87, induced investment minus 140.62, increase in income 60.95. For T plus 8, initial investment 100, induced consumption 30.48, induced investment minus 142.18, increase in income minus 11.70. T plus 9, initial investment 100, induced consumption minus 5.48, induced investment minus 72.66, increase in income 21.49. And finally, T plus 10, initial investment 100, induced consumption 10.75, induced investment 33.20, increase in income minus 143.95. So that was table 1. Returning back to the text, table 3 reveals that in period T plus 1 there is an increase of rupees 100 crores by the amount of initial investment. This increase in income leads to a rise in consumption of rupees 50 crores in column 3 in the period T plus 2 because of the value of MPC is equal to 0.5. This rise in consumption includes investment of rupees 100 crores, which is 50 multiplied by 2, column 4, and the accelerator coefficient being 2. And income increases to rupees 250 crores, column 2 plus column 3 plus column 4. This increased income in turn leads to an increase in consumption of rupees 125 crores in T3 period, being one half of rupees 250 crores as the MPC is equal to 0.5. But consumption in period T is a function of income of the previous period. Therefore, the actual increase in consumption in period T plus 3 and T plus 2, that is 125 minus 50 equal to 70. If we multiply this increase in consumption 75 by the value of the accelerator 2, we get induced investment of 150, which is equal to 75 multiplied by 2, column 4, in period T plus 3. Thus, the total of columns 2, 3 and 4 gives increase in income of rupees 375 crores in period 3. This increased income leads to induced consumption of 187.50 column 3 in period T plus 4 since MPC is equal to 0.5. The difference of induced consumption of period T plus 4 and T plus 3, that is 187.50 minus 125, is 62.5, which multiplied by the value of the accelerator 2 gives the figure of 125 of induced investment in column 4. And the total of columns 2, 3 and 4 gives the increase in income of rupees 412.50 crores, column 5, in period T4 and so on. Page 126. The increase in income is the highest in period T plus 4, which shows the peak of the cycle. Thereafter, it starts falling till it reaches the bottom or trough, when income is minus rupees 1 1.70 crores in period T plus 8. From period T plus 9, it again starts rising, which shows the revival phase of the cycle. This behavior of income as a result of the combined operation of the multiplier and the accelerator reveals that income first rises, then falls, and again rises at constant amplitudes. The actual behavior of the cycle, however, depends on the values of the multiplier and the accelerator as shown by Samuelson in his model. Note 5. For figure relating to the above values of CNV, students should refer to figure 1C in the Samuelson's model of trade cycle in chapter on business cycles. Figures relating to other values of C and V are also given in the same chapter. Kurihara, note 6. Kurihara, Monetary and Public Policy, pages 233 to 34. Kurihara points out that a less than unity marginal propensity to consume provides an answer to the question, why does the cumulative process come to a stop before a complete collapse or before full employment? According to Hansen, this is due to the fact that a large part of the increase in income in each period is not spent on consumption in each successive period. This eventually leads to a decline in the volume of induced investment, and when such a decline exceeds the increase in induced consumption, a decline in income sets in. Thus, writes Hansen, it is the marginal propensity to save which actually calls a halt to the expansion process, even when the expansion is intensified by the process of acceleration on top of the multiplier process. Selected readings. M. G. Mueller, 9th edition, Readings in Economics, 1966. Articles, Chapter 9 by A. D. Knox and Chapter 18 by P. A. Samuelson. Gardner Ackley, Macroeconomic Analysis, 1961, Chapter 17. F. S. Brumman, Macroeconomics, 1970, Chapter 7. T. F. Dernberg and D. M. McGowell, Macroeconomics, 5th edition, 1976, Chapter 14. Page 127. Exercises. Question 1. Explain the concept of supermultiplier. Describe its working in a free open economy. 2. Describe the principle of acceleration. What are its limitations? 3. Discuss the assumptions necessary for the smooth working of the acceleration principle. 4. Explain the multiplier-accelerator interaction and give its uses in the business cycles. 5. Explain the interaction between the multiplier and the accelerator in the theory of income determination. How far is it possible to provide a satisfactory explanation of the trade cycle on its basis? With this, we come to the end of Chapter 15.